Welcome to your church. Welcome. No matter where you've been, no matter where you're going, you are welcome. You are welcome whether you believe in God all of the time, or some of the time, or none of the time. No matter what body brought you in here, no matter who you love, you are welcome here at First Unitarian Church of Albuquerque. I'm Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm delighted to be joined by Reverend Angela Herrera and our music director, Susan Peck. And our worship leader today is Raven Reed Starr. And on the tech side, our Zoom DJ is Chris Paul. And a big thanks to our tech volunteers today, Bill Miller, Christine Robinson, and Cy Schuster. Thanks for all that you do.
Good morning. The chat box has become a valuable way for us to communicate with each other during services, and it has made it possible for each of us to individually share what's in our hearts, something we were not able to do in our big sanctuary during in-person services. To make the most of this tool, be sure that each time you post something in the chat box, it goes to where you intend. It's easy to accidentally message just the host when you mean to message everyone, or vice versa. Here's how to double check. When you are about to enter your text in the chat box, first click the three little dots that you see there. They are right in the same box where you are going to type your message. That will make a drop-down menu appear and you can choose the recipient.
Good morning, everybody. Last Sunday, we heard a special announcement from the CARE team about a mini campaign that we are calling Each One Reach One. The goal is for each of us to think about who we haven't seen at church for a while now, maybe even somebody who has not tried Zoom church at all yet, and reach out to them. Give them a call, invite them back to church next Sunday, September 20th, as we move into fall, with so many wonderful ways to stay connected, we don't want to leave anybody behind. Next Sunday is also Bring a Friend Sunday. And so you're encouraged to invite somebody who you think might just enjoy visiting or learning about First Unitarian. Now, last Sunday, when we made this announcement, I said that we would check in this week by doing our first ever Zoom poll in church. So let's give a Zoom poll a try. I'm going to try to launch it right now. So those of you who are joining by video should see a poll on your screen, and you can go ahead and choose an answer, and then we are going to share the results. And while we wait for everybody to enter their answer, I'm going to share that Zoom has made some changes to the way their service works recently, and we are still learning the ropes with the new rules of the game. It's kind of like showing up at church and having the sanctuary rearranged. So bear with us if there are a few glitches today. We do have just such a wonderful tech team, though, and I know that they're going to get the hang of it quickly. And I also know that if you know somebody who would like to attend church, but they are not sure about the technology, or maybe they don't have access to a computer, we can help with that. We're pretty obsessed with getting people brought back into the fold. Okay, let's share these results so far. And it looks like only a handful of you filled out this poll. But of those who did, 67% haven't reached out to anybody yet, 17% have reached out to one person, and 8% have reached out to two, and 8% have reached out to three or more. So we are on our way to reaching out, and we have some more work to do. I encourage everybody to reach out to somebody this week, invite them to church on the 20th. And now Bob is going to lead us in the lighting of chalices.
As we light our chalice in the spirit of renewal, we bring the words of Rabbi Danya Rutenberg. Let us pause to honor all the ways that we've been brave this week. Let us pause to honor all the ways that we've been kind this week. Let us pause to honor all the ways that we've been resilient this week. Let us gather together and join as Susan performs, "From You I Receive, to You I Give." Oh, I'm sorry, it's not Susan, it's families from our church.
From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and by this we live. From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and by this we live. From you I receive, to you I give. Together we share, and by this we live.
We are Unitarian Universalists. We are a people of faith, with open minds, loving hearts, and helping hands.
Thanks for coming to this Radical Generosity meeting, everyone. As you know, our annual pledge drive for the church's operating fund is coming up really soon. And so we wanted to get together and talk about how it's going to be different this year. It's going to look a lot different this year, in fact, than it has in the past.
The pledge drive again? I still think we need to think outside the box a little bit. I mean, some of the ideas we had last year are looking pretty smart right now.
Such as?
Well, RE's going all online this year, right? So it's the perfect platform for some lucrative product placement details. I bet a little halftime commercial during the sermon would be a real moneymaker too.
I really don't think that monetizing Sunday school or the worship service is in line with our church's values.
Always so negative. And you haven't even seen the mock-ups of the Chick-fil-A stoles for Angela and Bob yet.
No.
Oh, I get it. Carl the Coyote's too good to hold up a sponsor sign every once in a while. Fine.
You know, I have some questions about this pandemic pledge process. First of all, will masks be required?
No, they won't.
Will we at least be keeping a minimum distance of 6 feet apart when we're making our pledges?
No, and because...
Okay, will hand washing stations at least be available?
That won't be necessary.
Hand sanitizer?
No, because...
Well, this doesn't sound safe at all. Will curbside pledging maybe be an option?
We're not going to have curbside pledging.
I've got my mask.
You won't.
And. I got goggles, the gas.
Oh no.
And I've got some protest signs all made up and ready to go. And once I get everything sorted out, I just need to lace up my combat boots, fire up the leaf blower. I'm ready to go.
That's all totally unnecessary. This is one case where none of that is going to be required in order to live your UU values. of spirit, service, and love. Look, this year, we're shifting the pledge drive entirely online. No one's going to have to put together a hard copy packet, no big envelopes to pick up, no hard copy forms to turn in. We're just going to have everybody doing their pledges from the safety of their own home online.
Huh. I like it.
This has been a really challenging year, and this congregation has stepped up in amazing ways, showing incredible generosity in a time of real crisis for our larger community. Our pandemic pledging is an act of thanksgiving and joy and appreciation for all the things that we can see the church doing. Our church does so much for so many people, and our pledges are what makes it all possible. So all you have to do is keep an eye out for an email with instructions and a link to the online pledging form. And as always, thank you for living your UU values every single day.
Let's hear it for the Radical Generosity Committee launching a pledge drive in such a challenging year. I hope everybody will keep an eye out for their messages and opportunities to help support us and get us ready for the year to come. There is a meditation on light that we've done from time to time in Children's Chapel at church, and I'm going to share it with you this morning for all of us of all ages. So, let's prepare our bodies and minds for meditation and prayer. And let's pause the chat box for a few minutes for this part. I invite you to settle into your chair or whatever you're resting on right now. And if there's anything in your hands, go ahead and set that aside for a moment. And then see if you can let the crown of your head lift a little bit higher toward the sky. Let your spine straighten out as much as you're able. And feel the extra room that creates in your body. Spaciousness. Breathe into that. And feel the oxygen circulating throughout your body, flowing through your lungs, out through your limbs, fingers and toes, even reaching that crown of your head. Know that energy and oxygen are flowing freely through your body. Find your center, wherever that is for you. Maybe your lower abdomen, maybe your heart, or somewhere in between. Notice what that energy feels like in your center and let your attention rest there as you continue to breathe and feel spacious. In your mind's eye, picture a gently glowing light right there, a steady light at your center. It's the spark of life in you. Any kids who are listening, show the grown-ups around you where that light is in you, in your heart or your tummy or somewhere in between. This steady light at our centers, this life energy, that's where love and compassion and creativity flow from. It's the light within you that's always there, no matter what else happens. Feelings come and go, illness happens, ability changes, but the light within you is always there, a source of strength and resilience. Breathe into it and imagine it glowing stronger with the flow of oxygen and energy. Imagine it growing and expanding within you. Light flowing outward from your center. Light flowing out towards your limbs and the crown of your head. flowing through your cells. See it with your mind, strong and steady. And see it extend now even beyond your body so that it flows over your features. Anyone who sees it would perceive it. It is a peacefulness about you. Imagine it flowing outward from you, transforming the energy around you, the room you are in, the light that will be experienced by everyone you meet. We continue in silence.
Joys and concerns weave through our daily lives. Here, in this community, those expansions and contractions can be shared and held in potential ways to enrich our gratitude and lessen our burdens. Please enter your joys and concerns in the chat bar. If you are not able to write there, send a message to caring@uuabq.org and let us know what is on your heart. Now, take a moment and send us first your joys and then your concerns.
Thank you.
All of these we lift up. And we lift up Beth Orell. Beth's brother David died in a car crash on Friday. I'm sorry to say we hold her and her family in our love as they endure this terrible loss. We lift up Patsy Kelton Bourne, who's on hospice. We hold her in the light. We lift up Beatriz Mitchell as she continues to receive chemotherapy, and we pray for her comfort and strength. We extend our love to Alan Feigenbaum, who's been transferred from assisted living to a hospital to be treated for injuries. We pray for his recovery and for his safety. May he be surrounded by attentive healers and good care. We send healing thoughts to Tara McCoyne, who is recovering from hand surgery. May her recovery be fast and full. We celebrate with Judy Goring, who has been appointed to serve on the city's Veterans and Military Affairs Board. I'm so proud of Judy and all of the UUs who step up to leadership and service, whether it's advising or working as a mayor in a certain nearby city, or registering voters, or marching in yesterday's Peace and Justice March. About 35 or 40 of us were there, just UUs alone. Or any of the other ways UUs serve. Your acts of service are acts of hope and faith, and we celebrate that. All of these and more we lift up to the great powers of joy and healing and renewal known by many names. Let us join together in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of life, source of love, compassion, and peace, we lift up our prayers to you, to the love that holds us all. We lift up our gratitude. We give thanks for this day, for our lives, for the people gathered with us, for the love that moves through this community, care extended from one person to another, and for the call to love and serve that extends beyond. We pray for all of us living in this pandemic time with all that it brings, and we pray for solace and for healing. We pray for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for this world. We pray for all who are impacted by wildfires. We pray for our country. We pray for justice, righteousness, and reason to prevail. We pray for our planet, and we pray ambitiously with bold hearts. And finally, we pray that we may help to make our dreams a reality through our own actions and manner of being in this world. May it be so. Amen. Peace be with you.
Our reading today is When Giving is All We Have by Alberto Rios, former Poet Laureate of Arizona. One river gives its journey to the next. We give because someone gave to us. We give because nobody gave to us. We give because giving has changed us. We give because giving could have changed us. We have been better for it. We have been wounded by it. Giving has many faces. It is loud and quiet, big, though small, diamond in wood nails. Its story is old, the plot worn and the pages too. But we read this book anyway, over and again. Giving is, first and every time, hand to hand. Mine to yours, yours to mine. You gave me blue and I gave you yellow. Together we are simply green. You gave me what you did not have, and I gave you what I had to give. Together, we made something greater from the difference.
In preparation for the High Holy Days, Rabbi Harry Rosenfeld from Congregation Albert here in Albuquerque shared a story in an email of a man who was imprisoned in the Auschwitz concentration camp in 1942. The man was older and had experience in the camps, so he was made responsible for assigning work groups. When Rosh Hashanah came around, he assigned a group of religious prisoners onto a work detail that would be apart from the other prisoners, so they could pray as a group. And when they returned, he learned that they had sounded the shofar, which is a part of the Rosh Hashanah ritual. A shofar is a trumpet made out of a ram's horn, which is an important part of the ritual. Now, he had no idea how they managed to smuggle it in and keep it hidden. Eventually, the camp was liberated by the American army, and he went on to sound that horn in Israel. It's an amazing story, I think, and a story about the power to live our faiths under the harshest of conditions. Well, we're kicking off our annual pledge drive this week, as you saw in that hilarious video, and it's an opportunity for us to consider the ways that First Unitarian is still a church, even when we can't be together in a specific place, in a house of worship. Now, to be clear, COVID-19 is awful, but it's not the Holocaust. But we here at First Unitarian have struggled these past months with living our faith in difficult times. This is a time when we've had to think about being a congregation in new ways, without the familiar ritual of gathering face-to-face in our sanctuary every Sunday. What does it mean to be a congregation? And what is a sanctuary when we can't gather in it? Well, the other day, the worship team actually met in the sanctuary for the first time in a very long time. And our purpose was to begin preparing for doing some of our Zoom worship from the sanctuary itself. And that should happen in the next month or so. So stay tuned. We're going to continue to do Zoom worship, but parts of it will be Zooming in from the sanctuary. Look forward to that. So anyways, at the beginning of our meeting in the sanctuary, we had a conversation about what the sanctuary actually represents. And after 5 months of online worship, we came to agree that the sanctuary is a place made holy by our companionship there, the things that we've seen there, the things that we've done there together. But 2020 has helped us to expand and deepen our understanding of how we gather and what role a place like sanctuary has in the life of the congregation. We now believe that the sanctuary is not the center of the church. It's an anchor for sure, a powerful symbol that of our values, but it's not the center. The center lies within each of us, in the things we believe, and in our relationships, and in the ways that we live. Really, I'm saying that there's not a center because it's in our hearts and in our homes. And part of the proof of that is that attendance at online worship services has been about the same as when we used to meet face to face. This is still a church where we connect in profound ways every Sunday and now Wednesdays, even if we're not together. In this such a hard year, I think we've been together in spirit as we live in a country in disarray. We need the comfort of knowing that we're not alone as we face disease. We need the comfort of knowing that we're not alone as we face climate disasters. And we need the comfort of knowing that we're not alone as we endure a national leadership that lies to us at every turn. In 2020, we decided that the three big purposes of this church are connection, engagement, and resilience. Being a church together through connection and engagement gives us the resilience that we need now. More than ever, we need each other to survive and even to thrive. As you think about your pledge this year, consider this. most of our budget is personnel costs. And those costs don't go away when the campus is shut down. If anything, our staff and clergy are working harder than ever to make the pivot to this new way of being. And a great example of this is our Connections Week, which just passed. This used to be something that we did at folding tables set up in our courtyard where everyone could mill about and see all the interesting things happening at First U. And that truly was a joyful thing. But Lara Magnuson did an amazing job, extraordinary, of taking the spirit of that event and bringing it online. It was a huge success, and our most common feedback was that people wished the sessions were longer so they could connect more. It took an enormous amount of work to make that happen. Making church happen in these times takes a lot of work. And this church is so much more than the staff and ministers. As the pandemic swept through the city, people in this church continue to provide meaningful services, finding ways to teach citizen classes online, keeping the food pantry running as people lost their livelihoods, and finding amazing ways to make music together during our worship services. We formed zip code neighborhood groups to engage and connect with each other. I could go on and on and on. You know, the saying goes for UU's, love is the spirit of our church and service is our prayer. Love is the spirit of this church and service is our prayer. And I see that here at First Unitarian, week in and week out. For us, our Unitarian Universalist theology is not so much something that we believe as something that we do. And as this moment of racial accountability has swept through this city and the country, this congregation has stepped up. I see you at the demonstrations. I see you putting up signs. I see Reverend Angela helping to organize and even fund last night's peace and justice demonstration, where so many of us were there. That was really a beautiful thing. And it's not going to stop. This congregation is taking the work of anti-racism very seriously. And an indication of that is the Beloved Conversations program that will be beginning in October. So Beloved Conversations, if you haven't seen the broadsheet yet, is a semester-long experience running out of the seminary that I attended, Meadville Lombard Theological School. And the program invites us to embody racial justice as a spiritual practice. Beloved Conversations helps us to understand on a heart level that none of us are free until all of us are free. None of us are free until all of us are free. Now, this congregation is committed to racial justice and has been for a long time. Our shared reading of the book, White Fragility, moved our understanding forward and opened us to new awareness of the ways that we might be resisting this work. The Beloved Conversations program builds on this work by using a combination of online lessons and small group gatherings and large group meaning-making sessions to help us heal the impact of racism in our lives and move towards creating a more just and caring world. And the more of us who participate, the greater the impact on the congregation and the larger community will be. We can be the change that we want to see in the world. So details of the program are on our church website, and they're also on the weekly broadsheet that just went out, or you can just send me an email if you have questions. I encourage you to sign up soon. And this Beloved Conversations program is just a reminder, something I believe in my heart, that Unitarian Universalism is a force for change for better in the world. So as we begin our pledge drive, I'm asking you to give generously. But why? What is the why for each of us personally? I'd like everyone here to think for a moment about a time that they felt great about giving. It might have been giving to First U or giving to another charity or even to an individual. What made it feel great? We give for a lot of different reasons. We give because we are grateful. Perhaps we're grateful for someone or something at First Unitarian that made a difference for us when we really needed it. We give because it adds meaning to our lives. Perhaps we like that part of our identity where we say, I'm a person who helps this congregation bring love and beauty and justice into the world. We give because we want to help. We give because we believe in the mission of the church, and we trust the leaders we've elected, and we have confidence in our financial stability. And we give because of our IRA, and not because of our individual retirement accounts. In this case, IRA stands for Integrity Resource Alignment. We each have our personal integrity, the things that define our sense of what is decent and right. And we have resources. These are financial for sure, but also resources of energy and emotion that show up when we volunteer. We know everyone here has something special to offer, financially or otherwise. So for our first U IRAs, we want to align our integrity with our resources. How does how we spend our money and time align with what we believe is right? And we're the beneficiaries here of so many folks who have been generous beforehand, before we were even thinking about being Unitarian Universalists. The UU minister, Peter Rabel, paraphrased Deuteronomy chapter 6 when he wrote, "Building on foundations we did not lay, we warm ourselves at fires we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we did not know. We are ever bound in community." It's the end of the quote. We are ever bound in community here. May this community serve us, and may this community serve the world. Amen.
As we prepare to take up the offering, I'd like to remind you that our Change for the Future recipient for this quarter is Roadrunner Food Bank. You can make an offering online by clicking the link that we'll put in the chat box. And if you prefer not to give online, you can always simply mail a check to the church office. We will now take up the offering for the work of this church and the work of this church in the community.
Building a new way. We are building a new way. We are building a new way. Feeling stronger every day. We are building a new way. We are working to be free. We are working to be free. We are working to be free from hate and greed and jealousy. We are working to be free. We can feed our every need. We can free our every need. We can feed our every need. Start with love, and that is the seed. We can feed our every need. We are building a new way. We are building a new way. We are building a new way. Feeling stronger every day. We are building a new way.
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of Roadrunner Food Bank. We are now nearing the end of the formal part of this service. And of course, if you would like to join a small group conversation afterward for an informal coffee hour, all you have to do is stay on this Zoom call through the postlude and we'll just automatically connect you. Whether you join in conversations in small groups or with your family or friends after church elsewhere, I'd like to offer you a discussion prompt you might enjoy. Bob told us some different stories, gave some different examples of the ways we are a church and the things we do together. And I wonder, what is a story for you, a story you know or you experienced that really epitomizes First Unitarian? What is a story you can think of that is just like a snapshot of what this place is for and who we are? I invite you to think of one and share it with your group or your conversation partners. Now Bob will lead us in extinguishing our chalices.
As we extinguish our chalices and go into our coming week, let us be brave. Let us be kind. Let us be resilient. Our celebration is over. Our service begins. Go in peace, gentle people, and practice radical love.
Children, keep the circle.